You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
Casting my cares aside, I'm leaving my doubts behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow, giving you my fears and sorrows. Where you lead me, I will follow.
Here's today's message from Pastor Dr. Daryl Orman.
Amen. Let's greet each other and give everybody a greeting. Greet, greet, greet.
Yeah.
If you're our guest today, we'd like to invite you to just fill out the little perforated deal in your cell and place that in our offering plate. And a few announcements for you. Want to encourage you to take part in our life groups on Sunday morning at 9:15. They're a blessing. It's an opportunity to get to know people in a closer way in the life of the church. This Thursday, we have an outing for our seniors. It's our activity for this month. And we're going to be going to the Florida Baptist Children's Home in Lakeland. And we'll be presenting a check from our church for our children's home offering to their president. And then also putting together some activity boxes for children that they do. And that's going to be kind of a ministry aspect for us for one more child. They're called the Maker's Box, and they emphasize the character of God to children. And so we'll be putting some of those together as well. We're going to leave here at 8 o'clock, meet in the parking lot over on this side, and carpooling together. We'll take the church van and whatever else we need to go. We've got, I think, 15 or so signed up right now. There's a sign-up sheet over here. And where's Tom Snipes? Tom, will you superintend the sign-up sheet again for us? And Tom will be superintending the sign-up sheet. So he'll be over here for that and want to encourage you to take part in that. For our fathers and our men, whether they're fathers or not, but we're going to be having a movie day the Saturday of Father's Day weekend. And I want to encourage you to come and take part in that. We're going to watch the movie The Mulligan, with free snacks and drinks and so forth, and just have a great time of fellowship. The information's there in the cell as well. And then our baby bottles for CareNad, any loose change that goes and helps in the counseling of young moms to keep their babies. And then if you know of any golfers, we're still put this out. It's still an opportunity for them to sign up. We've still got a little bit of opening left in our golf tournament. And so I want to encourage you to take these sheets and give them to golfers, invite them to take part, whether they can sign up individually or as a group. We'd love to have them. And let's see what else we've got here. Be in prayer for our VBS coming up. And then tonight we have our life group leaders meeting at 4. So I want to encourage our life group leaders to be a part of that. It'll be over in the conference room. And today we want to celebrate our veterans, and we have some special emphasis for that, but I want to begin by praying for you. So if all our veterans would stand and let me pray for you, and then we're going to acknowledge you further in the service. Father, we just want to tell you we love you and praise you, and thank you so much for our veterans that are here today, and we thank you especially for all of those that gave their lives Lord, for us and to provide for us our safety, our freedom. And we recognize those who have made the ultimate sacrifice and also those who are here that have served. And Father, we just want to tell you we love you and praise you and thank you for placing us in this country. Please, Almighty God, just bring an awakening to our nation. We desperately need you. And we just want to tell you we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give these men a hand. Amen. Men and women.
Choir, please pray with me over our offering. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for all the many things that you do, and thank you for bringing us into a spirit of worship with your word and with our choir singing. Father, we ask that you bless this time, Father, that you help us draw nearer to you, and Father, that you'd divulge anything that's displeasing to you that we're doing, Father, and give us the opportunity to make it right. We love you and praise you, Father, and ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Well, I had one of our classes asked me to pray about speaking on prophecy, and I know for everybody, if you're keeping up with current times and everything that's going on, surely you have questions. I know we addressed some of this last fall, right after the terrorist invasion of Israel, October 7th, and we addressed some of these things, but we're going to retrack a few things and just kind of lay out some current chronology over the next couple of weeks. We will have a break for Father's Day. I mean, I thought about, you know, what we could do for Father's Day and with prophecy. Years ago, I was preaching a series of messages on the cults, and I was really into it, and I was a lot younger then. I had more vim and vigor. And so when it came to Mother's Day, instead of deviating from the list, I preached on Mariolatry, you know, the worship of Mary, or that Mary is a co-redemptress with Christ, that there's a lot of things in the theology of that. Well, it turns out that two of our young families in the church had their Catholic parents there, both of them. And so this was Mother's Day, and so I hit the topic, and afterwards, one of the families met me in the lobby, one of the young families. We are so excited that our parents were here today, and they heard the gospel, and both of them raised their hands that they prayed to receive Christ, and we're so excited about that. Well, a little later, near the end of the greeting time, the other family came through. Parents wouldn't even speak to me, stomped on by, went outside, and then the young couple said, "Pastor, I can't believe you did that. We finally got our parents to church and to a, you know, an evangelical church, and they said they're never coming back again because they're so insulted." And I thought, you know, am I living in bizarro world, you know? For one, it's a blessing, but actually that's scriptural. The Apostle Paul said, our gospel is to one the savor of life unto life, and to another the odor of death unto death. And so the gospel, and that was a perfect picture of that, where the exact same message, two families, exact same backgrounds, Roman Catholic, and yet one got saved and the other got offended. And the scriptures are true. Can I hear an amen? They're absolutely true. So today we're going to look at the Jews, and it's interesting that right now, here we are, 2024, and the Jews are the center of everything. The Jewish nation state, Israel, and the whole world is holding its breath looking and saying, is this going to be World War III? And you and I, who read our Bibles and know and understand, say, yes, it is. It is. And are we at the end of days? Yes, we are. Now, we can say last days, and of course, the last days have been the last 2,000 years. Even in the time of the epistle writers and the apostles, they referred to these days, the day the Gentiles, the day of the gospel going to all over the world, and the church age, that these have been the last days for 2,000 years. But there are some things now that have never happened before, that have never been in play before until right now. Right now. And so we're going to look at a few of those today. And if you've got your notes, if you look at your cell, if you received a cell, or look up in your Bible, Zechariah chapter 12, 2 and 3. Now, if you've got the notes, we're going to be looking at the New Living Translation. And I want to read these two verses to you and how apropos they are. This will be my introduction. Zechariah 12, 2 and 3. If you've got the notes, read it with me. 1, 2, 3. I will make Jerusalem like an intoxicating drink that makes the nearby nations stagger when they send their armies to besiege Jerusalem and Judea and Judah. On that day, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock. All the nations will gather against it to try to move it, but they will only hurt themselves. What do you think? Okay, so let's look at that a little bit. And let's look at Jerusalem and the nation state of Israel. All global prophecy centers around the city of Jerusalem. It's not Washington, D.C., London, Paris, Berlin, Cairo, Moscow, or Beijing. It's the little nation of Israel and the city of Jerusalem. The existence of Israel proves the existence of God. One of the great historians, Robert Dick Wilson, an archaeologist, a brilliant scholar, was asked one time, "What do you need to prove that the Bible's true?" And he said, "Just two words, the Jews. The Jews. That's all you need." And so here we see this aspect. Jerusalem has been coveted historically and defeated by the Babylonians, Macedonians, Ptolemies, Seleucids, Romans, Persians, Byzantines, Arabs, Crusaders, the Seljuks, Mongols, Mamluks, the British, and the Jordanians. And that's only part of the list. I mean, it is incredible when you look at the people, the Jewish people, throughout history. And there's not anybody even close that has been persecuted, vilified, scorned, mocked, treacherously dealt with, taken into captivity, dispersed all over the world like the Jews. And yet, in all of human history, there's only been one civilization that has experienced even one of being dominated, captured, dispersed, and coming back together again. The Jews are the only ones, and they've actually come back together several times. And the latest, we're going to look at some of that in just a moment. But when you look at this, if you've got your Bible, turn with you to Ezekiel chapter 36. And we're going to look at chapter 36 and 37 primarily today, and look at four aspects of the Jews that are betrayed in Ezekiel's prophecy about 3,000 years ago. Just a little short of 3,000 years ago. And so here's a Jewish prophet. And here he is, and the Lord's saying, "Here's what I want you to speak. Here's what I want you to reveal. And here's what he gives us." And so I'm going to basically, we're not going to read through all of the material here, but we're going to hit some of it. And around four different points, four different aspects of the Jews. First of all, God destroys and disperses Israel. In chapter 36, Ezekiel 36, in verses 3 through 6, we see this reference. "Therefore prophesy and say, thus says the Lord God, for good cause they have made you desolate and crushed you from every side, that you should become a possession of the rest of the nations. And you have been taken up, in the talk and the whispering of the people. Therefore, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God to the mountains, to the hills, to the ravines, to the valleys, to the desolate wastes, and to the forsaken cities, which have become a prey and a derision to the rest of the nations which are round about. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, surely in the fire of my jealousy, I have spoken against the rest of the nations and against all Edom. Here we see references from God talking about the nation state of Israel, and he says, as a judgment because of their idolatry and these other things, I am going to judge you, I am going to disperse you all over the world. And so we see this at this point. It's interesting that he says you'll be derision, you'll be mocked, you'll be desolate. And there's some interesting history relating to this and what happens when God destroyed and dispersed Israel all over the world. Now, I rehearsed with you some of those that held captive Israel and took it over. And it's interesting that in its recent history, in the last centuries, the Arabs were one of the last to hold sway over that Holy Land. It's interesting that the Arabs, when they held it as one of the captors, that from 1517 to 1970, for 400 years, the Arabs taxed every Jew in the Holy Land, every Jew in Israel, and they taxed them in an unusual way. They taxed them for every tree that they owned on their land. Now, we tease the Jews about how careful they are financially. And we tease other people groups about their idiosyncrasies. And we laugh because it's accurate. And so when the Jews were taxed for their trees, what do you think the average Jewish man did? Cut down every tree on their property. Now, it's interesting. It's demonic, really, in all anti-Semitic activity for all the ages. Has been demonic, satanic. And they are the apple of God's eye. He says that. That's the round part of our eye. They're the very focus. His attention is on them uniquely of all people groups on the face of the earth. He says that, that they have a unique purpose in his will, in his plan, in his guidance. And so here we see the nation of Israel, and they're being centered in God and in his purpose. Now, when they taxed them, they destroyed, and there was complete deforestation, the defoliage of Israel. And with that became unusual weather patterns that struck the Holy Land and turned it into a desert and a wasteland and a drought. And this has happened. Kim and I watched a movie on a godly man in Africa who started going out gathering the homeless and bringing them. And he and his wife had a large 1,000-acre desert area they owned of that part of Africa. And they brought so many kids home, hundreds and hundreds, they had to relocate to here. And he had the people of that area of Africa bring trees and plant trees every year. They planted 1.5 million trees. And this area that had been a desert, started raining. And it started bringing greenery. Now, Israel has done that 1,000 times over. And since they've been there in the nation of Israel since 1948, every year they go out and plant millions of trees. And they have completely changed the weather patterns. Now, I've got a couple of pictures to show you of Israel. These are 100-year-old pictures of what Israel looked like. And if you can see that, do I need to kill some of the lights for this? No. But you can see that it's just, these are all rocks and shrubbery and bushes, and then the desert area. Let's pop up the second picture. And again, the same type of thing, just the desolation. Mark Twain wrote a book on travels all over the world. It was a travel diary, a vacation travel diary. And when he went on his tour of Israel, the Israel of then, he said, this is a desolate wasteland. He said, I looked and looked and looked, and I could not find a Jew anywhere. And he said, this place is just God-forsaken. Kathleen Dame Kenyon, the great British archaeologist, she said, nothing remains of the temple of Herod or Solomon, and nothing is left there. This is a desolate wasteland and gone for good. Biblical scholars, when they talked about prophecy over 100 years ago, they said that God's going to have to put the Jews somewhere else. It's not going to be in Israel. I mean, it was just so destitute, and it had become such a wasteland. And so God did this, and he basically caused them to destroy their land, and it just became a wasteland. This same thing has happened in our part, our hemisphere, with the island, the combined island of the Dominican Republic and Haiti. If you look up, if you go and Google or DuckDuckGo or whatever, a visual of the island, that island, which is two nations on one island. If you look at it from the satellite photos, it's nothing but greenery to the very border. And then where Haiti starts in the southwestern side of the island, it is nothing but desolate, dark brown. It's incredible to look at the difference, that the treatment there. And this was Israel until something unusual happened on May 14th, 1948. And one of my favorite things that I own in this world is a magazine that my mother left me when she went to be with the Lord, a Time magazine. If you can bring up that cover, this Time magazine, or Life, I'm sorry, Life magazine, that is May 14th, 1948. And in this magazine, I mean, I was just going through these old magazines after she went to be with the Lord, and I found this one. And when I opened it up, May 14th, 1948, and I opened it up, and we'll look at a minute at the articles that were in it about Israel, Israel becoming a nation again. This is an absolute historic miracle of the earth, that Israel became a nation again, May 14th, 1948. And you say, well, what's the significance of that? I've shared this many times because this is one of the time date stamps on the return of Christ, not the specific day or the hour. No one knows that. That's the one bit of information that even Jesus doesn't know. But he is coming back, and he's coming back in a season, in a certain time frame. And we see in Matthew 24 the great prophecy relating to Christ and his return, where the disciples said, Lord, what shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And so he proceeds to share with them over 30 different evidences in Matthew 24. And one of those evidences that jumps out is found in verse 32. Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. Even so, you too, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near, right at the door. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Now, there's some interesting information in this prophecy from Christ. First of all, the budding of the fig tree. And we know from Scripture, and we're going to look at the verses in a moment, that this is God's prophecy for Israel, that this barren wasteland will become a Garden of Eden. And that's the terminology that God uses. And literally, that's the case now. Most of the flowers for all of Europe that are sold and the Middle East are grown now in Israel. Their fruit, they have oranges the size of grapefruit. It's like the amazing songs we've sang about the productivity of Israel, and it's occurring there. And all of these things, just incredible things going on. They're exporting all types of vegetables and fruits, flowers and foods all over the world. And they have become such a productive land. Now, when we look at this, he says, first of all, that there's the budding of the fig tree. Then he says that the generation that sees this come to pass shall not pass away before everything is fulfilled. Now, a generation is one group of people that have lived on earth. It's a specific group. Any given, there have been multiple generations, hundreds of generations that have lived on the face of the earth. A generation is a fascinating thing. If you look at pre-flood, when the entire earth was protected by the vapor canopy, and there wasn't the radiation we have now, animals lived to be dinosaurs. People lived for centuries. We have people in the Bible, Methuselah, even Adam, some of the others, that lived just short of 1,000 years on earth, physically. Now, think about that. I've thought a lot about that, that if people live that long now, and part of the flood curse is that we will be struck with a generational time limit of 70. Since the flood, human generation is defined by God as 70 years. 70, 60, and 10, 70 years. But before that, to live 1,000 years, that would mean right now, if there could be a father and son that lived on earth, where the son was, say, living right now, my dad used to love to hear Jesus preach. Is that not amazing? Well, we see here that he says the generation that sees this come to pass. Now, there's the terminology Jesus said, sees it. And that means seeing with perception. Seeing with perception. So, this magazine, this Life magazine, May 14th, 1948, that declares the rebirth of Israel. And you'll look at that in a moment, the headline for that, where it says, in the midst of travail, a new nation is born, Israel. Something to that effect. Well, there's a number of you here today. We just celebrated our veterans, many who have gone on to be with the Lord, nearly all of them, and Memorial Day. And we look at the World War II generation. Basically, the generation he's talking about is the World War II generation. So I've tried to think about this in practical terms and easy math. So 1948 sees it come to pass. That would mean if they were born in 1940 or before, they were at least 8 years old. That's a second grader. So a second grader could be in class, the teacher stand up and say, guess what happened this week or yesterday or this month? A new nation was born. Israel became a nation again. I'd like to ask everyone here born either 1940 or before, if you'll stand. 1940 or before. Okay, what he's saying to you is before your generation dies off the earth, everything will come to pass. He says everything. Thank you, you can be seated. So, I mean, the clock is clicking. The clock is ticking. The clock is ticking. And if we go with a biblical generation, 60 and 10, 70, when would that have happened? If you go from 40, 1940, you add 60 to get to 2000, and 10 more, 2010. Am I correct? So at 2010 would mark the biblical bookend definition of that generation. And now we're on borrowed time. This is how close it is. Now, here's another thing that just leaps out of the scriptures. It leaps out of prophecy in relationship to this. Is not just this generational thing, which is a generational time frame, but it's also some other facts, some historical, archaeological facts that cannot be disputed. They're indisputable. Israel as a nation did not exist for 2,600 years. And you say, well, they were existing when Christ was there. No, they were actually a province of Rome. That was the whole contention then, is they were not their own government. They were not their own nation. They were providentially just one of the fiefdoms of Rome. And before that, when they were conquered around 500 B.C. And so for 2,600 years until May 14th, 1948, Israel did not exist as a nation state. And so now we have something that hasn't been around for 2,600 years. Now, if you've got your Bible, let's look at our second point. Israel is reestablished and inhabited. If you look again in Ezekiel 36, verses 27 through 28. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. And you will live in the land that I gave to your forefathers. So you will be my people, and I will be your God. Moreover, I will save you from all your uncleanness. I will call for the grain and multiply it. I will not bring a famine on you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the produce of the field, that you may not receive again the disgrace of famine among the nations. Here we see him talking about this repopulation of Israel. We see him talking about the reestablishment of Israel. And we see that God in his sovereignty brings all of that back together again, which he's done. In May, in 1948, the population of Israel was about 2 million. And it's interesting when the Balfour Agreement preceded the United Nations establishment of the nation of Israel. And the Balfour Agreement that the British helped set up, they were under British rule, and they set it up where Israel would be given the land that would include the Jordan, part of the north of Egypt, north of them Syria, and the original area that was given by God. It's interesting, we looked at this last fall, that the Jews have never, ever occupied all of the land that God gave them. The most they ever did was under David, with all of the conquering that he did and all the victories over small nations around them when he was king. But even then, it was only about two-thirds of the land that God promised them. What they have now is a concession. They were supposed to have actually gotten all of Jordan. And the families that lived there, the influential families, lobbied England, and Jordan was conceded to them. It's interesting that the first country in the world to come on board for Israel becoming a nation again was the United States of America. And our president, growing up at that time, His mother told him, someday, son, you're going to have an opportunity to bless the Jews, and you better do it. And he listened to his mother. And it's interesting that another group that voted for Israel to become a nation again were actually the Arab nations right around them. Why on earth would they do that? They did that because they said, we're going to establish them, and we're going to attack them, and we're going to drive them into the sea. Does that sound familiar? From the river to the sea? That's been going on ever since they were established by the Muslims. Now, here's this little sliver of land, about 2% of the Middle East. And at that time, 1948, they were declared a nation, and within that year, all these Muslim bloc nations that are actually these particular nations were prophesied in Scripture, come against Israel and attack them, and should have overwhelmed them. They had them outnumbered militarily 100-1. And they had virtually no equipment, no tanks, no airplanes, no air force, nothing, virtually nothing. And God supernaturally intervened. On a Holy Land tour, we had a lieutenant, David, that from their military, the IDF, who took us on our tour years ago. And he said, what's happened in our wars, the 1948, the 1958, the 1967, and the 1972 Yom Kippur? What happened in all of these was God supernaturally intervened. He told of one division of Israeli troops who were being flanked by Syrians and others. And when they got in, there was a pincer movement where they're coming in from several different directions. And the one group that was on the Israel, the side coming in from the side of Israel where they had sanctuary and safety, was coming through this rough foliage, and these giant hornets started attacking them and killing them and drove them out of there. And an entire division of the Assyrian army was driven out, the Syrian army, out of that area by hornets. And then illness would strike them. And then when they in the Golan Heights, when they were parachuting in, they were expecting most of them to be killed in the air as they were coming into this tunnel system, this trench system in the Golan Heights. And they said what happened was their ambassador was at the United Nations, and someone told him by hearsay that the Golan Heights are being overrun by the Jews, and he sent that information back, and they abandoned the Golan Heights. And when all of these Israeli soldiers landed, the trenches and the tunnels were empty because they had already left the area under, they thought they were being overcome. Just incredible things that have happened over and over and over again to save them. And we see in Scripture this aspect. Israel is fruitful and flourishes. If you've got your Bible in chapter 36, look at verses 33 through 36. Thus says the Lord God, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will cause the cities to be inhabited, and the waste places will be rebuilt. And the desolate land will be cultivated instead of being a desolation in the sight of everyone who passes by. And they will say, this desolate land has become like the Garden of Eden. And the waste, desolate, and ruined cities are fortified and inhabited. Then the nations that are left around about you will know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted that which was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken and will do it. It's interesting that the Jews and how God has blessed them and prospered them in such a supernatural way. As of April 24th this year, the Jewish people, Jews have won 204 of 900 Nobel Peace Prizes. 204 of 900. And yet they are only 0.2% of the world's population, 1/1,000th of the world's population. And yet they've won 22% of all the Nobel Prizes. They're the most brilliant people. God's vested knowledge and wisdom of them, of any people group. And they, it says in Scripture, they will bless the whole world, and they have with medicines and even some aspects. Our nuclear energy is all from Jewish scientists, starting with Albert Einstein. And they developed atomic abilities, nuclear abilities. They developed the neutron bomb, an invisible bomb that could kill us all without us even knowing it happened. And so, incredible. Now, they've done this in agriculture. They've done this in warfare. They invented the Iron Dome, and it intercepts 99.9% of everything that comes to them. We just saw that happen recently. In just a few weeks ago, Iran launched hundreds of missiles toward them, and the only ones that landed and exploded were outside of populated areas, and they knocked down virtually all of them. We still, as the United States, don't have that capability. And they developed it. Now, one of the things they developed in agriculture is drip irrigation. And that's part of what God has given them, where they have repopulated and they have just completely flourished the Middle East to be the Garden of Eden. So you have this Jewish farmer using drip irrigation, and he's just got this bountiful crop. And right next door to him is a Muslim farmer still doing the same old thing, and he's got desert there, and it's depleted, and it's not growing, and he's struggling to get anything. So he talks to his Jewish neighbor, and he says, I need some help here. Will you teach me to do what you're doing? And the Jewish neighbor says to him, I most definitely will, for a price. And they sell the technology and the ability. And we see just how God has said, for my name's sake, I'm going to turn this into the Garden of Eden. I'm going to bless this. I'm going to be the one. We look at the Jewish Israelis' ability to defend themselves. If you've got your Bible, look in Ezekiel 37, verses 9 and 10. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. And of course, here we have God's prophecy about the dry bones. The dry bones, that this is a prophecy of Israel, that they're dead corpses and dry bones, and they're laying there. And God says, I'm going to bring them up. I'm going to add sinew to them. I'm going to bring them back to life. I'm going to bring them up and make them healthy again. Anyone that reads this, if they know history, you probably think about what our GIs liberated from the Nazi death camps. Literally, there was exactly this depiction there. There was mass graves with thousands of people in it. And then those that were still alive, when they came out of there, they looked like walking skeletons. How many of you remember those pictures? We've all seen that. And God, in his prophecy, said, I'm going to call forth these dry bones, and I'm going to make them come back to life. I'm going to bring it back to life. And he's done that. So we look at Israel as a great army, and he prophesies that here, talking about them. Let's look at it again, 9 and 10. Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man. Say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come forth the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life, and they stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. an exceedingly great army. And in chapter 38, verse 9, and you will go up, you will come like a storm, you will be like a cloud covering the land, you and all your troops and many peoples with you. Here we see God saying, I'm going to raise up these dead bones, this desolate land, this unoccupied place. I'm going to turn it into the Garden of Eden. I'm going to pack it with population. 2,000,000, 1948, when they were attacked, they dispelled all of those. They held their own and were kept from being destroyed. But then again in 1956 and they won. 1967 and they won. 1973. In 56, there were 3 million Jews there. In 67, there were 4 million Jews there. In 73, there were 5 million Jews there. Now there's between 6 and 7 million in the nation of Israel. In the 1980s, in that one decade, in 10 years, 100 million Russian Jews immigrated to Israel. Tour guides said when they would go to some of the kibbutzes and some of the developmental areas where these people relocated, these Jewish people from Russia, he would see them doing the Cossack dances. You know, I wish I was young enough, I'd do it for you. But they, you know, where they bounce down and bounce up and down and dancing, kicking their legs out. And they said, because these were Russians, but they were Russian Jews. And so now you've got, now when we look at them militarily, they are the lion of the tribe of Judah. They are either, it's debated, they're either the third or the fourth most powerful military on earth. On earth. And they are feared and respected by the Middle East. That's why they're trying to get them to cease fire. That's why they're trying to get them to lay down their weapons. If the Jews lay down their weapons, it will be complete genocide. It'll be completed what Hitler tried to do. Whereas if the Muslims lay down their weapons, it'll be peace in the Middle East. But it's not going to happen. It is not going to happen. And so here we have them. There's only 5 countries in the world that have developed atomic subs, developed their own. The United States, Russia, France, Great Britain, and Israel. China's bought theirs from other countries. Some of the other powers, India's bought theirs from other countries. And they've had to buy the technology. But these 5 countries have developed their own, and Israel is one of them. I just want to tell you, as we look at this and we read this, and there's so much more. Once you get into other books, you get into Jeremiah, get into Daniel, the book of Revelation, some of the other references in the epistles, and you look through Scripture, the body of Scripture. Beloved, what you and I believe is absolute bedrock truth, and it's as current as our headlines. It's the reality the world's living in now, and this is really just the beginning of this global, ferocious, intense fulfillment of prophecy. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today, and thank you and praise you so much for the opportunity to meet. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you have revealed everything to us. And I just want to ask you, please, dear God, to give everyone listening courage, boldness, confidence, strength in the reality of your prophecy, in the reality of your truth, the truth of the earth. And Father, as you've told us, we want to pray right now for the nation of Israel as we celebrate our country and the sacrifice of our veterans. We ask you also, dear God, to put a hedge of protection around the nation of Israel. Father, we know that they will not be defeated. We know that you will fight the battle. We know that you will win the war. And we want to ask you, please, dear God, to bless us as we bless your people, as we pray for and intercede for the apple of your eye. And Lord, I just want to lift up right now three men in the world that are in the struggle: Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, President Zelensky of the Ukraine, and Donald Trump, President Donald Trump. I ask you, please, dear God, to put a hedge of protection around these three men. I pray, dear God, that you'd surround them with your mighty angels. I pray, dear God, that you would use them in a supernatural way on this earth. And Father, I also want to lift up President Biden and ask you, please, Almighty God, to bring deep conviction to his heart. We pray, Lord, that your supernatural spirit would rain down upon him. He's claimed you as a Catholic, and yet, Lord, he makes no decisions in line with your word. We ask you, please, Almighty God, to move upon him. And Father, I just want to ask you, please, to be with our people today and give them wisdom, give them discernment, give them certainty. And Father, I ask you, if there's anyone listening today not ready to go, if the rapture was to occur today, and it could, I want to ask you to open their hearts, open their mind, give them true repentance, to step away from their flesh, their righteousness, their sin, to receive you. And I'd like to invite you right now, if that would be your circumstances, to just pray and say, Almighty God, I know you hear me. Please cleanse me, forgive me, save me through the death of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for dying for me, dear Lord. Thank you for sending your Son to die for me. And I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to extend our invitation now, and as we do every Sunday, and want to ask you to do business with God. Maybe he's speaking to your heart about being a part of this local fellowship, this body, our family. We'd love to have you and want to invite you to come. Maybe you need to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Want to invite you to do that as well. Maybe you've got a prayer request. Maybe you have a need. We'd love to pray for you. Let's stand together and sing, and you come as God speaks to your heart. I'd like to again invite our seniors to go with us to see our children's home. We'll leave at 8. We'll be back mid-afternoon, so I want to encourage you to go with us and enjoy that time of fellowship and ministry as we put together some of those boxes. And then I want to ask our men, invite you again about our movie coming up, The Mulligan. It's an excellent Christian movie. And we'll have some fellowship and free snacks and everything. And that'll be the Saturday of Father's Day weekend. So I want to encourage you to take part in that as well. And I just want to tell you, I love you. It's a privilege to be your pastor. So I want to encourage you to be in prayer next Sunday, to come with expectant hearts as we look more into prophecy and what's going on around us. God bless you. You're dismissed.
This is Dr. Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stewart. The strength and greatness of America was not an accident, but a direct result of basic Bible theology and a traditional philosophy of education. At First Baptist Christian School, we are totally committed to a traditional philosophy of education. It permeates our whole curriculum. First Baptist Christian School is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stewart, Florida. We observe open admission, and we would welcome a personal visit from you anytime at our campus on West Ocean Boulevard. For further information regarding enrollment, please call the school office at 287-5161. First Baptist Christian School, equipping students for Christ through kingdom education.
Reborn Youth Ministry is for students in 6th through 12th grade. We invite students each Wednesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. to get up, get out, and get moving. Students will hear high-energy Christian music and messages straight from God's Word that they can apply to their lives, relevant to issues they face each day. Friendships are formed through team-building games, sports, art, and service projects, and special events throughout the month. If you or a teen you know is looking for a Christ-centered, safe, and friendly environment, please check us out. On Sunday mornings, we offer a life group for our students at 9 a.m. and invite them to join our worship service right afterwards.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stewart. The Lord Jesus tells us in Luke 6:38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall people give to you. For with the same measure you give, shall it be given unto you again." I'd like to encourage you today to send a gift to this ministry to keep us on the air. We are a conservative, Bible-preaching, teaching church that declares the entire counsel of God. We don't skate around controversial topics or moral issues that God's Word specifically deals with. If you've been blessed by our 20-year ministry on this station, WCNO 89.9 FM, then please give. There's several ways you can do that. First of all, you could make us a tax-deductible check today to First Baptist Church of Stewart, 201 Southwest Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994. Or you can give online at fbcstuart.org and just click on our tab for giving at the top of the homepage. It'll take you to several options, and then there, if you would check Radio Broadcast Supporter. And God bless you as you reach forward to us and assist us in sharing and proclaiming the unsearchable riches of Christ. This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, "Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstuart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.